This is North by Northwest Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
This is... what movie is this that we watch? Dr. Head?
This is the Sizzling Bacon.
And you are experiencing...
Unsane. Speaking of unsane, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, we bring you a particularly unsane movie pick for this episode. We are going to be talking about the 2006 movie Southland Tales. Oh, where do I begin? Where do I begin? This is a very, very ambitious movie written and directed by Richard Kelly. Little bit of history before we go on. Richard Kelly did a movie a few years earlier called Donnie Darko, which has become quite a cult favorite. Rightfully so. I actually like Donnie Darko quite a bit.
Really good movie.
This was a extremely more ambitious movie than Donnie Darko. This is an ensemble movie. The cast is just amazing how he gathered, how they gathered the crew, the production, you know, obtained all of these. I mean, let's just go through it. We've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We've got Sean William Scott, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Carlos Amezua, Todd Berger, else?
The cast of SNL.
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake. I haven't gotten to Justin Timberlake yet.
Sherry
O'Terry. I mean, Will Sasso.
Will Sasso. I was going to say one of my favorite. Will Sasso.
Was Will Ferrell in there? Was that Will Ferrell?
No, I don't think it was.
Will Sasso.
Kind of looked like Will Ferrell.
No, Will Sasso was there, but it looked everyone.
No, I know the one you're talking about. I think it looks like Will Ferrell, but I don't think it is. And I never found anything that said it was him.
It's not Will
anyway.
Ferrell.
Revenge of the Nerds.
It's kind of an episodic, multi-story movie. It's a time travel movie. It's also a near future science fiction, but I would also say it's alternate reality. It's definitely not our reality that's being posted in here. And you did mention Justin Timberlake, who has a pivotal role. And the first time I saw it, it took me a while to even recognize Justin Timber.
With the scar makeup.
And just, you know, just in that hair and the little beard. It took me a few minutes to kind of recognize him. Dwayne Johnson is probably one of the main characters in this. He plays, what's that guy's name?
Boxer
Lightner. Boxer. No. Boxer something or other. Yeah.
Santeros.
Boxer Santeros. Yeah. And then the other star is Sarah Michelle Gellar, who plays Krista Now. This movie, another thing, let me say, because this movie is just, this movie is so complex and so packed. It's a satire. It's a pure satire of so many functions. Pop culture satire, big, big time. Although I think I will also say, because there are some scenes in this movie that cater to a certain crowd that I think I don't fall into. That's the music videos that are in this.
Yes.
They're embedded in this.
I appreciate them interjecting themselves every once in a while.
And it's appropriate because of the satirical nature of the movie.
Yes.
The movie, what's the guy's name? I can never remember his name that plays the bad guy.
Dinner with Andre. He's from Dinner
from
with Andre.
Dinner with Andre.
And Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Wallace Shawn.
Sean.
Is that okay? I can never remember.
He's inconceivable.
He invents something called liquid karma. which this is, I love this because it's very nebulous. You have never, it's never really explained. It's, he says, it's
a Tesla thing.
Yeah. He says, it's the ocean, you know, but then they never, I mean, it's just never gone into.
He's because like it's really
not,
ocean,
it's not germane to the plot of what
actually,
it is.
He said, it's the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, Rock or Dwayne Johnson, who plays Boxer, it starts out, he's he wakes up. He's a movie star in the movie. Right. It actually starts out with Justin Timberlake, doesn't it? At the
yeah,
gun.
Narrating,
yep. And he's at the gun because he's manning this gun. There's the whole plot has a thing called ID dent. What is it? ID dent. You know the whole big program. Yeah, that is, you know, Big Brother. Yeah, ID dent. You know, coming into the and that's a whole another aspect.
Homeland Security.
I'm kind of rambling because this movie kind of rambles in a way.
You're right. It's very twisted and. But yeah, and I kind of liked it because of that. And it's just
Me too. I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just saying it's a complex story to kind of try to unwind because there are so many elements and so many divergences from the main plot, which the main plot is the world's going to end, really.
Right.
But then we have it's so loaded with pop culture satire. The Michelle Geller, who plays Krista Now, is a porn star, and she has a reality TV show that are all porn women porn stars talking about the relevant subjects.
Like The View.
The View, only it's porn stars. Yeah.
Right. And that was so jarring. Like,
oh, yeah.
I had totally forgot, because I had seen this movie when it first came out, but haven't seen it since. Yeah. And then to hear Buffy start talking about how many dicks she's taken and all, and where the guy comes, and I was like, what are you doing to Buffy? I forgot this happened.
But yet she has this, you know, it's just like now, you know,
right?
She has like a TikTok thing, whatever. And she starts, and they're trying to talk about worldviews and.
Yeah,
and
that's what I said.
I love that.
And she treats actually, her career is so matter of fact.
It all is treated matter of factly. But,
yes.
To pull up another aspect of this whole satirical thing is just you have to watch this movie several times because it is embedded with so many things in the background that are satire, that are meant to be satirical. But I want to bring up one thing, and then I'm going to pass it on, let everybody else talk a little bit, because I could talk about this movie seriously for hours. But the one scene that still just rips my heart out from this movie is the two truck copulation scene. The commercial. I died laughing. I mean, I forgot because I hadn't seen this movie for a few years. I died laughing when I watched that scene. And I'm watching, I'm going, and I'm saying, you know, and here's another thing I'll mention. Throughout, like, you watch certain aspects of the globe and it's not very good graphics, you know, and you watch those two cars, they're like kind of primitive. 3D graphics.
Primitives, going, yeah, they're like primitives.
Okay. Until you get to the blimp. That is absolutely perfect. Perfect graphics. Perfect CGI. You know, right. I mean, as good as you can get. It really is. Really
at the
good.
Time, yeah. Yeah,
and I'm saying, right. And that's just, so I'm going, these, you know, here, Richard Kelly.
But I think that was done on purpose, though, too, for the.
He wrote it. Well, yes. No, it was. That's right. What I said. Yeah. He wrote this, and, you know, he wrote and directed it. So I'm going to say, you know, 99% of everything in this movie is his vision, you know, and until I read somewhere otherwise. But, I mean, that's just brilliant. The movie's kind of uneven in many places, and there's things that just don't kind of jibe. But overall, I'm going to give it a pretty good. I don't like it as well as I liked it the first time I watched it, primarily because of the video,
the opposite
videos. They kind of just didn't gel with me. You know, I understood them, but I went, one would have been fine, and that one should have been Justin Timberlake. They shouldn't have had any others. That one was a pretty good one.
When he did his little...
And we can, we can talk about a music video inside of a movie that is absolutely perfect and apropos. Midnight Gadfly, what movie would that be?
Magnolia.
Shakes the Clown.
Yes. Shakes the Clown.
Me and the You're boys.
That is a good one, too.
Reservoir Dogs.
Terrifier 2.
Get a Reservoir Dogs.
What's that, Gaffler?
Reservoir Dogs.
Terrifier 2.
Oh, Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to pass it on. Dr. Head, general impressions, if you want to mention anything, because we haven't really talked about the plot. I don't even know.
Yeah. It's too much to talk about. It's so dense and complex. I've seen it just the one time. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah. Okay.
And I really appreciate the satire and seeing those things. And the commercials were great. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're hitting all those right things.
Right.
I struggled with the disjointedness of the storytelling. And looking for threads of relevance, because it takes a while to develop it. This is a 2.5 hour movie. It takes a while to develop these things. And
it's
so,
a long movie. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. I'm like trying to put all these disparate pieces, because you don't know how many pieces there are. The plot is not simple at all. And it like folds in on itself. And it's like, oh fuck, it just keeps on changing.
But that's what enjoyed.
See,
that.
But as a first time, find
meaning. It's a first time. Go ahead.
First time experience. I did not like the disjointness of it. It's actually made me not like it after a while. I'm like, it gelled toward the end. I'm like, oh, I know where they're going, but by that time I was just like, I was just waiting to get
tired
through it.
Tired of going through
it. It was exhausting. I'm like, no, it's just like, I just want to get through this movie. And I left going, but at the same time, I knew it was a movie that you got to see this a couple times if you want to really fucking know what's going on. But I don't know if I really want to do that. But I do appreciate the satire, and I was hysterical. I'm like, yep, that's
and
really
I love.
Good.
That's
really
good. Well, I think really if
you come and the cast, the cast,
the cast. Like,
how do you go from doing Donnie Darko?
I love the casting of this. This is so
good. Everybody, like, was he the darling? He must have been the darling at the time because of Donnie Darko, and like everyone wanted to be the next Donnie Darko. Or like,
that's it. Yeah.
Well, you know, and look at the attack of the 1980s actors. You got John Larroquette. You got Booger, Curtis Armstrong from Revenge of the Nerds. Booger. You got
doing
from
stuff
Poltergeist.
These guys have never done before.
Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn in that wig and the makeup and like hanging out. But he was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, the performances are just stellar. Really good.
John Lovitz was
he was really great. Like, John Lovitz.
I hate John Lovitz in this.
Yes.
I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of his otherwise, but I agree with you there, Professor.
But he played this straight. He played
he did.
It.
Yeah. Very
He played
very,
it scary.
Yes.
He played it.
I think, I think that was Richard Kelly. Saying, look, this is what I want. Yes. I don't want John Lovitz. I want you to die to be out of yourself.
Right. And that's
I think I seriously think he
and same thing
direction.
With Sherry O'Terry. I really she
right.
still had
kind of was her.
She was
still kind of her, but she was,
we haven't
she
talked
just
about
being
the,
a badass.
The, yeah, we haven't talked about
when,
the neo-Marxist
when they did the
movement.
Squib thing. When they did the squib thing, that was
Sherry O'Terry was
they did it like 3 seconds late.
She steals almost the entire movie for me. And
she does a really good job.
Yeah. And how jarring it was to hear Buffy start talking about dicks and cum. Same thing. Sherry O'Terry being this badass and borderline frightening. Same thing, really jarring, but really effective.
She's Sarah Connor from Terminator 2.
Well, yes,
think she's borderline frightening. I think she was frightening.
Yeah, she was intense.
The first time she grabbed that guy, what's his name, too?
The Highlander guy, wasn't it?
Christopher Lambert.
Yeah. Grabbed him by the throat. Jumped him back. I mean, he looked genuinely surprised.
Right?
I think, because I wonder how many times they even rehearsed that.
I wonder if that was the first part, because I don't think he's a good enough actor.
That's why I said it was a good actor.
Back on the coke.
He told her to do it, didn't tell him.
Yeah. I love that scene, though. I think that, and then there again, that's the jarring thing. Terry, her Kelly has brought all these people that you don't see in these roles and putting them into these other roles that they don't normally. That's right. I thought that was a brilliant move, you know.
And after that scene, Lambert goes, that guy turned me on.
I think the movie wasn't really popular because I think because of what Dr. Head said. It's just convoluted. Too confusing. I imagine, you know, sitting in a theater the first time watching it, you know, to the normal viewer is going to go, you know, geez, I'm a half hour in this movie and I don't know what the fuck is going on at all.
And that length of time, too.
Two and a half hours was, for what, 2006 this came out.
Which would be a miniseries now, right?
Parts of it. Midnight Gadfly, let me see. You haven't said a whole lot. What's your take on this movie?
I think it's really good. I think it's like our 2000s Doctor Strangelove because it's just kind of got that. It's trying to do it as if it's of the time, but it's also, I think, really prescient. I think the fracturedness of the story is talking to what we already have now with social media and all that kind of stuff, because that's really what all that stuff is to them. You know, with the Kristen Now, that whole show. And I love the fact that the neo-Marxists are trying to set up and create this racist cop when Sherry O'Terry already has a racist cop that she couldn't get to come in. Yes. You know, so there it's kind of a double whammy there, you know, where she's setting up the people who are setting somebody up. You know, where, you know, and then I love the scene with the squibs as well, because I love how they're like, why do you have to wear prosthetics? And they're like, because we're really recognizable for our stuff. And they're like, yeah, sure you are.
Because we're so famous.
But then the acting, because those are both really Amy Poehler and the guy's name, the guy from, what's his name? Wood Harris is his name.
Yeah, Wood Harris from The Wire.
They're from The Wire. They're both really good actors, but that scene they do, they're like, oh, I'm so angry. Oh, and then they give them both really big noses, like the same big nose. You know, I mean,
you think that they're like rehearsing.
Right.
But then here comes the cops, you know, while they're talking. And you're going, oh, what the hell is going on? And you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've got squids and you've got John Lovitz, who's a cop. And he... And Sean,
William Scott.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the other cop? He plays. What's the character's name? Roland Taverner. Yeah, Roland Taverner. Because it's very important to the story, who he is, and when you first get him, that here becomes some of the real confusion, Dr. Head. I think when he's introduced into the story. You know, you're starting to get a lot more of that science fiction element that you don't really know yet. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, is kind of, to me, that's kind of one of the beauties of the script is I like the fact that he took 2.5 hours to develop it. Sometimes I like that, you know, because you need that time, although it is very confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think he fails on a few, efforts. I have to admit that. Overall, you know, I think it's a pretty good movie and a great effort, you know, by somebody who had only made one or two other movies, Donnie Darko 1.0. And then he's only made one other movie after this in 2009, The Box.
Yeah.
That's all he's not done anything since then.
That's a good creepy movie, The Box.
It was an episode of like The Twilight Zone or something. That's what everybody was complaining about.
Yeah.
To
get back to Southland Tales, so you're following Boxer, The Rock, Wayne Johnson. You're following him around because he has amnesia. But here's one of the plot, I think, one of the plot weaknesses. He has amnesia, but yet he does certain things that an amnesiac person would not do. So it's this weird kind of amnesia. And I have to justify it because he is time traveled. He is a time traveler. And maybe that amnesia is kind of a selective thing because he's only getting part of his memories, but they're not really
like quantum leap.
Kind of.
Let me go at that one just a bit because he has amnesia, but he was previously an action film star. What the fuck does he have to forget other than he's a narcissist and he's vapid? So when he comes back, he still is. It's all about script. He's not freaking out that he has amnesia at all. Yeah. You know, he has, and then he does the little thing with his fingers where he gets all nervous. You know,
but then they did the thing with Justin Timberlake with the the experiments that they are doing in Iraq with the telepathy between the different.
And that's all
that soldiers,
all,
and that brings him into that.
That's right, liquid karma. Also, that's right. liquid karma too. Yeah,
and then, they're infused. But that the rock and they talk when they meet. They're connected. They know they're connected, but they don't know why they're connected.
And you know, like what I mean? Gadfly said that tick. Like when the lady pulls the gun out on the beach and points it to her own head, and he's got that little manic face and.
They're always watching. Yeah.
But that, that's funny because I thought, when I first watched it, when he's doing this, fuck, that's stupid. That's what everybody who's crazy does. But they explain it later on.
Yes.
They explain why he's doing this because of the two halves of him.
Uh-huh.
They're not together. Right. And he's constantly trying to put them together. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. You take a cliche that you immediately. Then he turns it on its head. Oh, now that's a piece of brilliant writing and work.
And for him to do that, though, too, because he looks, he looks the part.
It's not subtle tapping. That's one thing I noticed. I'm like, I know it's a device. No. Oh, okay.
And he didn't do it all the time, though.
It was obvious in a couple scenes. It was a very manic kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
But when you hear that, I'm like, okay.
When they explain it,
It was like, oh, come on. It feels like the trope. Like, really? This is, you might as well have him go $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
Or be running around like Brad Pitt and 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, that's what it smacks of. But like so much of this movie, what the initial impressions don't. You make the impression because you don't have all the information, and as that information comes in, then you start seeing, oh, this is you. Right.
Wait a minute, that was
it is ambitious.
Ambitious. He was way more subtle than what what I would.
Right,
if that was what was going on. Like, okay, I can see the exaggeration, but I might have to see it again, but
wait a couple of months or something and watch it again.
You can kind of leisure.
It's even one of those movies I've watched, not this one, but there's several. I'll watch in segments, I'll watch like the first half hour and then take a couple of days and go and just kind of think about it,
Mm-hmm.
This is a good movie to kind of.
I saw this a while ago.
Or to.
And yes. Then
no, it's
re-watching
been a while since I've seen it, too.
But I liked it. Yeah, you were saying you didn't like it as well as you did the first
only
time.
Only because of the music. Video scenes. I didn't like those.
Right.
If they would have only had one, I would have liked them. But I really liked it
the second time I saw this.
Just
the layering. I really liked that.
Yeah. I almost disliked it when I saw it in the theaters when it was new, because I thought it was trying too hard to be a Tarantino movie. But Richard Kelly couldn't quite square that circle. Of how to make it a better, quick Tarantino type movie. And so, like you said, I agree it's ambitious, but I think it failed there. But now watching it now, and just I appreciate how cleverly he does manage to make it all gel at the end. And I appreciated how he was playing with people's personas, turning Sherry O'Terry into a badass, turning Buffy into a porn star, but also too with The Rock. Like the action beats in this movie, 90% of them are given to Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Like The Rock is referred to as an action movie star, but you don't see The Rock in an action scene.
And speaking of his
character, you see Sean William Scott in those riot scenes, and also Sean William Scott, who at that point had been known as being like a goofball, and he gets the most badass part in this movie.
Well,
so
that's what I said.
The playing of people's personas, that I liked it so much better this time.
Yeah, he turned that around on almost everybody in the movie.
Exactly.
He gave them all, said, I want you to do this role because this is not what people expect from you. So
exactly.
I think that, I just think that is great. And I'm sure.
And they're probably grateful for the opportunity.
I think that's why he got so many really good people. I really do. I think they looked at the script and he said, look, read this. Here's the part I want you to play. Now, read it, not as a part you would think you would normally read. You know, play, read, and see if you would do it. And I'll bet you, in every one of them probably went, holy fuck, I'm in. This is something I never did. I'm, typecast, let's do that, man.
I go against the grain.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, actors, I mean, you like playing different roles. I mean, you want to do different things, you know?
Right.
And he just, capitalized on their, their talent, their egos, you know?
Yes.
But,
I was just like, I mean, again, Donnie Darko is great, but then how do you go from that to this? Like, how to, like, the next movie's being made is because were these guys all fans of Donnie Darko, or you just have a lot more money and clout now and can invite the people you want in?
Both. Yeah, I think a large part of it is that Donnie Darko give you the budget to have a bigger sandbox to play in, and I think that's what this was in that
Donnie Darko. But I thought, you know, when it first came out, people dissed on this movie, but I really I didn't like it the first time. You're right.
Right. But I like second it. Viewing, I like it much better now.
Yes. And that's, I think a lot of sci-fi movies are like that. You know,
and The Rock actually.
The first viewings, you kind of have building about it. But then you go back and look at it again. It's like, And it warrants a second viewing.
And having The Rock not have an action role in this, he actually gets to be an actor, and he shows he can be a really good actor, which I think that caught people out there,
and not overly comedic either, you know.
Right.
Yep. It was like, you know, usually he plays those roles well too,
you know. The comedic part came from just the way he looked, because he looks so perfect, and then just playing what the character requires him to play. You know, it's like you don't expect someone to. Yeah, it just
was
yeah.
his like, hair. Was his hair when you see him in scenes? Was it? Was that sprayed on?
No, that's
his real hair. Is that his real hair?
That's his
at that time. That was his hair.
But he did have spray hair just because trying to hide he was going bald so young. But I mean, like literally one or two. I think Get Smart's the last time he attempts to have hair. After Get Smart, he just shaves it.
Yeah, but I just thought his hair looked fake. You know,
it does. Like
it was painted on.
Yeah, he was going bald real young.
So oiled.
He kind of
Sean William Scott and The Rock were just in The Rundown like 2 years.
The Rundown earlier. Together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was 2 years earlier. And did you guys recognize Kevin Smith in Southland Tales?
No.
No. Who was
he?
He was Simon Theory. He was the old guy with the beard.
I thought that was Toby Jones. That was driving me nuts because I was like, I thought it was Toby Jones.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then a couple times I thought it might have been like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I love stuff like that.
I never saw that as Kevin Smith. Holy crap. That's like Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want fat fingers.
Oh.
Yeah, Tom, in this movie, we've gone over the plot of this movie, and it's like very complex. It deals with a lot of some kind of science fiction, time travel. The perfect
religion
solution to energy,
versions of yourself.
Yes, and then the alternate versions, early on, Roland, who's the cop, refers to his other guy as his brother.
Right.
Because the memory is just not there. And they don't really connect until the very end, which was a kind left of an odd scene, I thought.
Right.
But,
left and right hemispheres.
And we haven't even really talked about, again, playing against type. You took Will Sasso, who was from Mad TV and had just played Curly in a Three Stooges movie.
He's Kenny Rogers.
You turn him into this vile, sex trafficking dirtbag.
Yeah.
Again, and he kills it.
Who's funny, too. His looks... During Kristen Now's speech, they'll cut to him and he's just going
The Will Sasso look.
What was the one line? The something about the future.
The future is going to look a lot more futuristic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I was thinking the Amazing Criswell.
That's what I thought too. One of her co-hosts describes what would happen if I took the morning pill after pill if I was traveling from Australia.
Morning before. You're such a genius.
Yeah. Well, the whole movie has two morals to it. One is everybody wants to be a porn star, and I'm a pimp. Pimps don't commit suicide.
That's true.
Pimping ain't easy, but we don't kill ourselves.
That's what I said. And then just performance after performance, it's really good. And it's well worth the watch, you know. And I would say, too, you know, if you're a movie buff, you know, this is one you have
to. And you want to invest the time. Yeah, it's really fun movie.
I think so.
I'm just saying, I didn't like it either the first time I saw it. It was recommended by a friend of mine. He goes, watch this movie. I'm like, why is it good? He goes, just watch the movie. You know, this is Roger. And I'm like, okay. So I watched the movie, and I'm like, oh, man, why did he make me watch that movie? And right after that, he comes downstairs, and we're, like, talking. And about 3 hours later, we're like, we're still talking about this fucking movie, you know, that I just watched. I've subsequently gone back and watched it. And, yeah, there are problems, certainly. But I think this is, like, most people that would do something this ambitious as their second film wouldn't come close to what this has put together. I think this is on the par overall.
Johnny Darko. It really is. I mean, you're right.
See, I like it better than Johnny Darko.
I do like Johnny Darko a little more.
But I like this movie way better.
On the second viewing, I like this better than Johnny Darko.
One has way more originality. Johnny Darko isn't a real original.
It's a great movie. Or Donnie, either one.
Johnny Darko is a big boy, that was the North Korean version.
Donnie Darko was just a rip off of Motivational Growth.
What's that?
I said that Donnie Darko was just a rip off of Motivational Growth. They're both about people already dead, right? So
Fun guys. Yeah.
Well, did you know that Donnie Darko did horrible in the theaters too? It came out on DVD years later. Like a lot of high school.
Have you noticed any movie we like?
It breaks the audience expectations. Yeah. Well, meet my friend Harvey. No, it's Donnie Darko.
But yeah, that was the first movie The Rock was in that lost money, because he had those string of popcorn hits for 5 years straight. He had, you know, Mummy 2,
Donnie Darko King,
he had Scorpion King, then Rundown, and then Walking Tall, and then this. And this was the first time that he had a box office clunker. But it probably his best acting performance in his whole career.
Hell yeah.
I can't remember who it was in the movie in Southland Tales, but one of the characters had the actual medallion from the Scorpion King. They were wearing it.
That's kind of funny though.
See, I love stuff like that.
That's why I said
any movie.
This movie, you can watch this movie. This is kind of like Paprika that we talked about in a couple episodes. This movie is so the visuals are so layered that you can just not even pay any attention to what's in the foreground and watch the whole movie and see so much in the background. He's filled it up with so much. And like, you know, everything, you know, and then I'm going to come back to the humping trucks. I can't help it.
The filling the background trucks, for some reason, just grabbed me and just made me,
I was rolling on the floor.
I really want to see a Ram truck on a Toyota.
I want the Ram truck.
That's postmodern American hentai.
That was some good Priusy.
But
there's the episode name. Good Priusy.
He gave me a poke.
To your point, Dr. Feather, but the I lost my train of thought because we're talking about truck fucking.
Car sex.
Truck fucking.
Check out that trunk.
Instead of keep on trucking from the 70s, just keep on fucking.
I don't do diesel.
Right.
Degraded into
there's your episode name.
Insane
right there.
Radio your episode name. Banter.
I don't do diesel. Don't that's do the diesel. Episode name.
But yeah, and this we talk about just you know we're talking about Justin Timberlake. He's another yes. one. I think he's a really yeah. good actor, yes. and you know his part in this is boy a bizarro band
to
part.
This right yeah. from a boy band to this. It's, yeah, that's a yeah. crazy leap. And yeah. again, yeah. kills it.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. I like how they also play up that it's Justin Timberlake by doing the.
The music video.
The video. That's thing. What I said. Yeah. I appreciated that video in the movie.
Acknowledging who he really, is, kind of. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. yeah. But then yeah. So, but there's, yeah, the plots, it's all, it's a pretty convoluted and pretty, you know, complex plot that we don't really need to get into. You really right. seriously need to watch this movie.
No, that's the fun of it,
to
though.
Appreciate right. it. Yeah. And what we said hasn't really blown anything. We've just given you some of the highlights of, you know, what to kind of expect. As, like, for Dr. Head, if it's the first time you watch it, it's a 2.5-hour movie, so be patient. And let right. it unfold, because I guarantee you it unfolds and you will have those aha moments and going, oh, you know, and
origami.
What better thing can a movie right. do for a person? You
it,
know, right.
it does take you on a journey. It is. Yes. I know. And even after I was done, even though I didn't like it, I didn't like I there are a lot of things I could admire about it. Yes. But it was also a movie that I thought maybe in a year or whatever, I'll come back
give
to it.
Give it a break.
And,
yeah.
and I'll be yeah. I'll be able to, now that I know what's going on, I won't have to worry about trying to find
I've had a bunch of movies like
I'll
that.
I'll be able to enjoy it a lot more. It is a multiple yeah. viewing movie. You really do. Because yeah. there's so much coming at you.
Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention to the background. Because yep. I was trying to figure out what was going on. So,
yeah.
so it's not, so you got two layers of information being thrown at you in like three pieces from three puzzles
pretty much,
like being yeah. thrown at you, and you're trying to piece it all
Spock
together.
And,
like,
and three-dimensional chest.
Right. And that yeah. was the point I was trying to make that I lost to all the background stuff. Again, it, to me, is like a Tarantino nod, because Tarantino does that too. There's so much little Easter eggs and little things in the background that on second,
which
third
he stole
watching,
from a bunch of other people. So, yeah.
Exactly. But exactly. So when you watch a movie, you know, when you go back and rewatch it, you can start to notice the stuff in the background, same as this movie.
Because, which, yeah. Which,
watch yeah. every Stanley Kubrick movie, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Hitchcock.
Who knows
Hitchcock,
how.
And, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Hitchcock was good at it. Even though he sucked as a director, he did a lot of that.
Oh, I'm glad you weren't talking for a second. I'm like, wait a minute.
Your
brother wasn't saying that.
Another gadfly detest Hitchcock. Yeah. Well, first of all, he has a name called Hitchcock.
Who's cock?
Hitch.
But anyway, back to anything else anybody want to say about Southland Tales? I'm trying to remember. You know, it's just so dense.
I
think we've covered. Go ahead. Well,
I think we talked.
Who's on cock? What's on
You were talking about the Liquid Karma. They do explain that it's like this almost kind of quantum entanglement
the
is how
Tesla
they
field.
Entanglement.
Quantum
yes.
entanglement right. is how they yeah. transfer it. But it's being created by the perpetual motion machine, which is the ocean. But that
ocean.
But that
yeah.
machine out there.
And that's what his obsession and sexual obsession with the ocean. And
right, but they also say that machine is causing earthquakes, and that's what's yes. really going to make the Earth just kind of die. You know,
now, because you see it in the background, yeah. this big column going up into the sky. It's a very
energy shooting up.
Right,
whatever.
Lord of the Rings scene. You know?
Yeah.
And
Tower of Sauron. Yeah.
And with the earthquakes, yeah. it begs the question, is San Andreas a direct sequel to this?
No.
Earthquakes.
Geostorm, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. There we go. There's a good one. So anyway, there you have it, I guess. Anybody else have any... final words on Southland Tales?
If you have some time,
directed by Richard Kelly. Kelly, I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask.
I was going to say, look at it.
Your favorite surprise of all the surprises, because everyone flops like the expectation, like we had talked about. Which one of those flops was your favorite? like the least, most like your least expected, like the best flop for you?
Flop?
What do you mean?
I mean an actor being in a role that's kind of contrary to what you expect.
Totally.
So which one of those like surprises? Which one of those flops were the most satisfying for you? Is what I'm asking.
Ooh.
I mean, like Sherry O'Terry.
Like seeing, was it Sherry O'Terry's performance? Like, or was it, you know, or, you know.
John Lovitz. John Lovitz.
For me, it was Sherry O'Terry. I think she steals almost the entire movie. And she definitely steals just about every frame that she's in. For me, it's Sherry O'Terry.
I think I agree. And she was good. You know, the other person that I really liked, who I like overall because I think she just has this great outlook is Amy Poehler.
Yep. Yes.
She did a really good job. And I like her, period. I just think she's one of the best actor performers to come down the pike in a long time.
Parks and Recreation, that shows
there's
Nora
so
Dunn. Nora Dunn is great.
Nora Dunn is great.
As Cindy Pazinski. But
you feel
that? That surprises the taser up against your balls to John Larry.
Yeah,
but Lovitz. Every I thought when he did his stuff, though, every once in a while I thought, okay, he's going to say something stupid.
It never happens.
He breaks
he's
it,
gonna make
and
a
he
face,
has that weird blonde white hair. And
well, just, that's what made him immediately scary. Immediately scary. Drives up and he's got that fucking bleach blonde hair, and you're looking at him.
And it's perfectly coiffed, man. That was a $500 haircut.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going, holy shit. Yeah,
and he's telling you from the beach patrol.
Actually, looked like a human being. You know, he didn't look like a John Lovitz.
I wonder if the current celebrity that hair kind of looks like that. Just saying.
Who's that?
But yeah, anyway,
the 14 step comb over. I'm not going bald.
Oh, but anyway,
it just takes like 4 hours.
I'm sorry, I thought you said queef, not quaff.
So
that's
Melania. You think about it, you know, that question, Dr. Head, just about everybody who's in this movie, you can say that about. You can go, wait a minute, you know, this is such a great role, unique role for this character. I think that's one of the brilliant, you know, I would just love to talk to Kelly about it, you know, and say, how did this work? There's probably an interview out there somewhere with
let's ask him.
That tells.
It gives it that.
Let's get him on the show.
Come on down.
You're not doing anything right now, Rick. Come on down.
You haven't made a movie
last
since
I heard. I actually looked him up. I actually looked him up to see what he was doing. And in 2023, he did an interview. He says, I got a lot of things in the works. Some big projects. And that's all he would say. So,
and you think about that. There hadn't been anything since 2009?
Yeah, no. This is just a blurb I read because I didn't go in depth. But I probably will because I kind of like to know. I mean, I liked what he's done, and I'm kind of curious, you know, what he's been up to. And I didn't go do a deep dive into him, so I don't really know. But I think we ought to get him on the show.
He can sure, talk. Why not?
Yeah, well,
he's got an hour to spend with us.
Yeah, I'm sure. Or a half hour. However,
I'll call Kevin.
10 minutes.
I'll call Kevin. He'll hook.
Okay, boys, time for chicken.
Get Kevin, and he can talk about his role. We'll get him in here too.
Yeah,
Kevin Smith.
I've met Kevin Smith a couple times. That dude is awesome.
Have you?
He is
give him a call. Since you met him, say hey.
He is
we met.
He's a hugger, dude. And when I got to talk to him one time, because he had a widowmaker heart attack. He survived. I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that dude gave me the biggest hug and just like right near it. He's like, man, thank God you're still with us, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude, he's not the cuddler.
He is the most, like, the sweetest celebrity I've ever met in my life. I met quite a few, but he is the most. That's just a regular person in a celebrity.
He seems like it. Yeah,
yeah, he's genuine.
Okay, there you have it.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say.
In accordance with this movie, you have yet to be experiencing.
Oh, insane radio at gmail.com.
Keep those yes, we're at the com.
Keep those letters coming, coming, coming. That's for you, Dr. Head. Here's
splashy and lettery. Yeah.
Tar and Feather have a YouTube. It's Tar and Feather's Psycho Cinema. Go there. We have about half a dozen movies on and a couple other little tidbits. Go check it out.
Tidbits. Hoopla.
And Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on Facebook and YouTube. Heavy and the Metal and the Horror.
Horror.
Coming to you.
And I started Wavering. A YouTube page. I started a YouTube page currently right now. It's just me vlogging about how much I hate the current right side of the political spectrum.
We gather that.
So, right.
That's why I kind of brought it up.
It's The Nerdery 1967 on YouTube. And if you want to see my artwork, because I do arty stuff, it's webhead62 on Instagram.
And Art's okay with that.
He's fine. I got a notarized permission slip and everything from Art. He's good.
And We Freaks, family-friendly webcomic on the Facebook, WEEFREEKZ.
Written and drawn by John Boise.
John Boise. Blue Fez. Boing. Blue Fez.
Boing.
Boing. Boing. Boing. That's true.
Peanuts sideways.
Spell circus snuck.
This music is by Alpha Kawu. It's called the Senashari.
Kawu? Kawu, werewolves of London.
No, John Hall.
Well, I have to interject this. I did like the Star Spangled version. Song version in Southland Tales.
Oh, right.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I feel that's appropriate for now, but that's all right. Thank you for the dirge. Star Spangled Dirge, yes.
Dirge.
I was appreciative that he wasn't afraid to put a smoking Asian in there as well.
Right. Oh, thank God there's no tentacles.
That we knew of.
That was the last movie.
Touché. They're cut. They were cut. They're on the cutting room floor. in the Asian version.
Like, we don't need tentacles. We got trucks fucking.
It's amazing how many of those people were on the show Entourage.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's what made it so funny, though, I think. Just having all these. And I'm sure that was designed, too. Oh, just yeah. Having all these TV personalities.
Didn't you listen to the podcast, Tar? We just said that through the whole podcast.
Oh, I know we did. Well, I'm reiterating. Center.
Who is your favorite surprise?
Quit asking the aspersions, motherfucker.
Who is your favorite surprise to pop up?
Janine Garofalo.
Okay.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
She's like very
John. It was John Larroquette for me. How about you, Dr. Head? Who was your favorite that surprised you? Who was your favorite celebrity that popped up that caught you off guard?
Who, me?
Dr. Head.
Oh.
Yeah, sit back, Feather.
I'll probably share with Terry.
What about you, Feather?
But Terry.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah. If I were
unrecognizable and, yeah. I like that.
They didn't care about it, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to be unrecognizable.
Right.
But
I should have stayed. I should have watched the credits, because, like I said, I thought that was Toby Jones.
Tobias.
Spooky.
I've been speaking of Tobias. I've been watching Arrested Spanky? Development.
What? Yeah, Tobias Spooky.
Yeah, that's great.
You can touch the Spooky.
I'm a never nude.
Yeah. We should.
I like the whole Green Man, the Green Man part.
The Blue Man.
Never nude.
Or the Blue Man. The Blue Man. I mean, not Green Man. Blue Man.
Yeah, they blew me.
They blew me.
That's what he says. Even when he goes, it's not what I thought it was. The Blue Man group. Well, and then he turns around and he's only blue on the front. Yeah. He can't reach the front.
Couldn't reach it. Yeah.
What do you guys do? Do you guys have to do other shit right now?
That's we're still YouTube in the fucking. Stuff. We're still in the fucking episode.
I thought we just killed it.
I let it roll, man.
Still in the fucking. Well, that's fine, but well, okay. But this
shut up
the
so
ball.
We can end.
No. Why the fuck would I want that? Aren't we paid? Aren't we paid by minutes?
Minutes are being paid by minutes.
I'm going to give you some minutes in a minute.
That's right. We're getting into time and a half of No Talent.